You're listening to Customer Growth Sessions, presented by Intergrowth, where we talk through strategies to help up-and-coming e-commerce businesses bring in more customers. I'm your host, Pat Ahern. Let's jump in.
Okay, listeners, welcome back to the latest episode of Customer Growth Sessions. Today, I am thrilled to have Bill Spohn, coming from TrueTech, onto the podcast. Bill is the president and CEO over at TrueTech, a company that's been around for, I guess, since the early 2000s. He's been there for about 15 years at this point. So we're going to dive into everything that he's learned with helping to run the business and jump in from there. But Bill, thrilled to have you onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Pat, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Starting out, tell us a little about TrueTech. What is it that you guys do?
TrueTech Tools is a e-commerce store for about 100 different brands of products that are mainly targeted to heating and air conditioning contractors. So it's the tools and the test instruments they would use to properly execute their work. And then another smaller market, but related, is something called home performance or building performance. And I like to say it's assessing and setting up a house or a structure or a building to contain the expensive air that is made by the HVAC system, because it has to heat it, cool it, humidify, dehumidify, filter it. Those are all activities that involve expense. And if you let that air leak out or outdoor air leak in, you're defeating the purpose and you're wasting energy and probably causing some discomfort or maybe some structural issues.
I want to talk a little about the growth story behind TrueTech. You joined in 2009. You guys were 3 employees at the time. Now, 15 years later, there's 20 people on the team full time. Talk to us a little about some of the things that helped to drive so much growth for the business.
Sure. I think some of it was just sort of due to our approach. We're trying to be helpful to our customers all the time. And we put 3 groups of people at our forefront. Eric Preston is my co-owner. We're both owners of the company. And he's a sort of more day-to-day general manager, and I'm the more executive, although I don't dress like one. We try to put customers, employees, and vendors all at the top of the list. And vendors broadly includes other people in the industry. So it's sort of this engagement with all these people and really trying to think in their shoes, their position, and make things delightful. We've recently changed our brand promise to be along the lines of being the least hassle of your day. That's what our goal is.
You mentioned the idea of creating a lot of helpful resources for these 3 different groups. So talk to me about how you've gone about finding different resources maybe that you could create for each group.
Sure. So I think part of it for myself and 2 of the founders were a father and son, both named Jim, last name Bergman. I worked with the son for a while at a company, and I had worked in this field of heating and air conditioning tools and test instruments for a number of years and got hooked on explaining them to our salespeople, our company, our marketing people, and then to the market as a whole. So it's been an evolution for me. And then I worked for another company, met Jim. He had the same, he was actually an HVAC educator. So it was always this training, education, connecting people with how to do things, not just to sell, but how to do things. So a lot of this was just internal knowledge, internal insights. And we began sharing it. Recently, it sort of exploded. There's been a lot of great resources that are multi-sharing that we're connected with. So we used to feel like we're sort of at a hub for this, but now it's expanded to many nodes in the system. And there's a lot of education, training, and influence going on in this ecosystem.
Wow. Maybe some of these different training opportunities, what have you found to be most effective in terms of getting in front of the right people and being able to share all the expertise that you've learned over time?
Sure. My training is a mechanical engineer, and I was involved with product development, actually have some patents in this field. So I really understood very well how things worked, but always wanted, even from a very young age, to be like a magazine editor for Popular Science magazine. I wanted to help explain people and connect them with what I knew to with how they could use it. So this was the perfect breeding ground for that spirit in me. Being with a manufacturer, a lot of times we would go to trade shows, events, be on standards committees, things like that, and have to share a little bit of our knowledge in order to sort of help things progress, either educate the person at the conference or the training session, or to help move the standard process along and help connect things together. So it was just that sort of involvement just continued to grow. And when we started TrueTech in 2000, I was there from almost the very beginning. And we always had this idea to continue that spirit of education, which separates us from any other e-commerce provider for these tools. They don't do training. They don't go out to trade shows. I mean, I can think of maybe one that does in one remote area, but generally speaking, we're out there. We're known as a connector of people between the product, the process, and how to execute with it.
And I love that you've taken an approach of ultimately saying, hey, not many of our competitors are taking this approach. Let's go full in here. Let's really try and help our customers and help the vendors that we work with.
And it wasn't in like reaction to the competitors. It was just in our DNA. I mean, when we stop and we look at it or explain it in podcasts like this, it's like, yeah, you're doing a great thing because the competition doesn't do it. It's like, it's us. It's just our thing. That's the way we work. That's the way we think. And that's the way we try to. We've built a company, and especially lately, we're up to 28 people now. We built a company with core values and a purpose and a vision for the company that helps tie things together. And we share with our employees every quarter. We go through a state of the company meeting and all our leadership team gives a little bit of a presentation. So we try to keep kind of the same spirit just embedded in the way everyone thinks.
Well, it came from strictly a place of, hey, this is our company's values. We really want to just help people. We want to educate people. One of my takeaways is it's ended up really helping the business as well. And I would imagine quite a few listeners are really wondering, hey, how do we start doing the same thing? How do we build maybe an education-centric customer acquisition path? So one of the things, you know, let's say for a listener here who maybe wants to figure out, hey, how can I go about speaking at trade shows? What advice would you give to that listener?
Well, it has to be genuine. So you have to search for an area where you possess information people are interested in receiving. You can start off with, I think a really great place to start off with is LinkedIn. That has become really a really nice domain of people sharing information, sharing studies, sharing slideshows and presentations, even running online sessions and getting feedback. So you need to come up with something genuine that you really understand, you really know about, and then put it out there and be ready to hear criticism, hopefully constructive criticism, to help you build that into what it should be. And know who else do we relate with. A lot of these conferences that go on, they have co-presenters. So you have someone who represents sort of another facet of the same topic, or just another take, or maybe you represent what it looks like from the selling and marketing side, and someone represents what it looks like from the using side of it. And you collaborate with these people and just open up those channels of communication.
Because you had mentioned the idea of really sharing things on LinkedIn or any other community that works for you. Have you found certain approaches are more effective for you personally in terms of, I guess I would say, just finding things that are worth sharing, finding those topics that you think, hey, I think this will really resonate with my audience, or even just, hey, this is something I'm really interested in. Let me take an hour to put something together on LinkedIn.
Sure. I think lately I listen in a lot of Facebook groups, and there are clients, our customers. I'm a member with permission, of course, but I'll hear things and start to pick up on things and say like, hey, this is a trend. Something that I brought with me in my career is, if one person mentions something, there are probably 8 to 9 other people who aren't speaking up. So they represent sort of a survey, if you will, if they bring up a topic or they're doing something with a unique approach. And a lot of times, like on LinkedIn, like I'll see something, I'll go like, that is tremendously interesting. I'll contact that person and say, can you come out and make podcasts and talk about it? So give that person, from maybe a peripheral area, some access to some new listeners, some new people to be exposed to what they're speaking about, and in the same time, learn from them and sort of like broaden this map. I don't know if you're on LinkedIn at all.
Not as much as I should be, but okay. I try to be, yeah.
Going back probably 6 or 7 years, there used to be a feature in LinkedIn where you could come up with a map of who you're connected to and the areas of concentration. And it was really cool because my business partner at the time, Jim Bergman, he had a real HVAC-centric map, and mine was more on the building performance side, the home performance side. And we worked to sort of blend those two together for the benefit of the company. But it's that kind of visualization that helped me out realize like you can reach a lot of people and being genuine, of course, honest, but also honest about your mistakes, being ready to retract or correct or update as the case may be.
And I've heard this analogy. I wish I could credit the person who originally shared it, but I heard this analogy when it comes to sharing, you know, insights on social, your blog, you name it, that I really love, which is to treat the work that you do on a daily basis as, or the end product is really having two things that come out of it. One being the actual result comes out of your work. Two being all this, what's referred to as like sawdust, stuff that most people just throw in the trash. And what I love is this kills me that I can't think of this person who shared this, but they really advocated for saying, hey, instead of throwing this sawdust in the trash, take this sawdust, the work that went into solving the problem, figuring out how to do things differently, or even just saying, hey, here's something that we had to try and figure out recently that we totally botched when we tried to solve it for a customer, and sharing those types of insights on social. And I'm curious if you find yourself doing that often.
I think we hired, like last year, we hired someone called our industry engagement manager because it got to be so much work and so much engagement they were doing. We actually had to have one professional dedicated to this. And I think he and I both embraced the idea of we'll give a presentation and either we take notes or someone else takes notes and we go back and it gets updated almost immediately and reflecting on the work that went into solving the problem. Maybe it, in the case of like presentations, it wasn't, the message didn't get across or the analogy wasn't as clear as it could be, or something popped into your head in the middle of speaking. And that happens a lot. I just have this fascination with the human brain and the way people think. My comment or quote for this is we all need to spend more time thinking and a little bit less doing and more time thinking, because that's where beauty, vision, and creativity come from.
I think especially in the era we live in where there's so many different things that can grab your attention at any moment, there's not really, boredom doesn't really exist anymore unless you're really deliberate about allowing yourself to be bored. What have you personally found is helpful for yourself in terms of taking dedicated time and effort into just thinking more critically about things?
It's sort of like consolidating all my random notes into one place and just feeling that those notes are safe. I'm not going to lose them. They're transcribed clearly and I can always go back to them. And that's sort of like clearing the palette to begin, you know, creative work. I actually have behind me, I call it my thinking chair. For the video part of the clip, you can see that. For the podcast, you can see that. And I sometimes just like kick back to there, maybe with a laptop, maybe not, maybe with a notebook, and just think about things. So it's identifying like, and actually trying to dedicate like an hour a week of quiet time just to think without any interruption.
I wanted to go back to some of the things you were saying about just finding different insights to share on social media. One of my takeaways is, sounds like you spend quite a bit of time in Facebook groups trying to understand what sort of problems are people in your network really dealing with that you might be able to shed light on. Let's say you find three potential conversations or three potential discussion points you could share on LinkedIn. How do you approach sharing those? Do you just say, hey, it's on my mind, I'm going to share it at this exact moment? Or is it trying to set aside like one dedicated post a week, one dedicated post a day? How do you typically think about that?
I'm not that structured. I'll usually do it in the moment. But if it gets to be sort of like technical or needs references, I will pause and take the time to pull those references or resources together so that it is something that's workable. And a lot of times I'll sit and pause before hitting post and think about, am I making sense? Because I see some people who just, they blurt something out, I think with very well intentions, but you scratch your head. What are they really trying to communicate? And I don't want to come off that way.
One other thing I'd love to hear your take on, you know, I'm sure there are some people that are probably listening that are thinking like, that seems like a waste of time to be sharing your insights with the community, posting to, you know, LinkedIn. So let's say for that devil's advocate mindset, what would you say to the naysayers that say, I don't think it's smart to invest time into really sharing insights with the community? I think there are more valuable things I could do to grow the business.
Sure. I'll say it comes back around. If you've been doing it genuinely, consistently, and for long enough, it'll come back around. Like actually this week, there's a trade show that I normally go to that I decided not to go to this year. And there was one last month, the same thing. And not bragging, but people say, where's Bill? We missed Bill. Everybody misses you. I hear that from my colleagues that are there sending me pictures, notes, messages, that kind of thing. So that's a satisfying to know that you're missed, your in-person contribution is missed. But I think it's important to also, you know, as you to connect with others. So we do something, an idea of mine we started a couple of years ago on our website. We actually have it in our top bar of truetechtools.com. It's called True Friends. So people, colleagues in the industry who we think are spreading the right stuff. They think the way we think. It's about getting as much training as you can, following good procedures, being ethical in your work, and sharing it with others. So we've got a page of our true friends on True Tech Tools. So we sort of give back to them free of charge. There's no ad fee or marketing fee associated with that. In fact, some of them do marketing for us and we pay them, but we also post them on our site to have that engagement there.
I love that you do that to help really spread the voices of the people that are taking time to share with the community.
Yeah, and show that there is a community out there. That's another thing I've done recently is there's an idea that's been kicking around for a couple of years called Better HVAC. And three of us got together at the end of last year and decided to create an actual .org, betterhvac.org. And we came up with a declaration and a pledge. And the idea is we see a lot of like-minded people around in our travels, but these people don't know of other people that have similar problems and similar successes. And we're trying to create an open environment to share those, to elevate the profession of the trades in HVAC. So I think there's around 150 people now that have taken the pledge. We put them up on a map. We give them a chance to explain who they are, what they're doing. And it's something in development, but it's really something that's come out of the spirit of building community of like-minded people.
So I wanted to go back to the True Tech Friends question or True Tech Friends element that you were mentioning on the site. Because you mentioned some of them you're currently paying to help advertise for the business. How do you typically go about finding people in your space that you think would be really good to help promote the business? People who are involved in the community, let's say, that just could really amplify your voice.
If you can't tell by the podcast, if you can tell by the picture, I'm old. So, and consequently have worked with a lot of people over almost approaching four decades in this field and always try to be honorable and trustworthy in my interactions. And that sort of that builds this base of trust. Someone's run into me somewhere. And for the true friends, we really didn't have to build it. People came to us more or less. Some of them were sort of out there and we said, hey, we'd like to invite you in, coax them into it. But most of them, it was just like, it was absolutely logical. And once we brought it up, it was like, yeah, I want to be part of this.
If you were to go about building True Tech 2.0, completely different business, maybe even completely different industry, what are some of the practices that you would incorporate in this new business to acquire customers and really grow the customer base as quick as possible?
Okay, that's a good question because I'm actually involved with a couple of startup companies. So we're doing exactly that. It's if you have a, you know, sort of a, in your mind, a thesis for an idea and, you know, any business really, in my mind, is you're solving a problem. You're allowing people to either do something or sort of transform information or material into something. So you need to search for a problem or a set of problems to solve, but you also have to have a real solid footing in some aspect of that. So in the case of one company that I'm working with as a strategic advisor, the person that wanted to solve a problem is to work with contractors who are helping people electrify their homes. Now, this person is a software-based person and knew nothing a couple of years ago about the market, but knew how to develop scalable software. So you have to build off of an element of personal experience and work experience. It's hard to say for another person to come in and say, well, I have no software experience. I have no market experience, yet I want to build a software product for this market. I mean, you're smiling right now. It's like, that just doesn't make sense. So you have to be very introspective to understand what you're good at. And you can find that out by listening to what others say about you. And you find out what you're good at and then build from there. I started podcasting in 2017. And I do one called Building HVAC Science, which are those two markets we talk about with HVAC in the middle of the building. in the middle of building science, and another one for an organization and our network as a contractor. And I never thought about podcasting. I'm not sure I'd listened to too many back in 2016 or 2017, but a friend of mine who was a podcaster said, "You got a voice. I like the way you think. I like the way you ask questions. Can you join my network?" And he actually started a network of podcasters, which has since disbanded, but it was something like somebody saw something in me that I didn't know was there. So being introspective, but also looking for that external affirmation that you have something that would be of value to others. I think everyone does, but sometimes it takes a while to develop.
And I love the way you put that. And that's true. If you can get honest feedback from people who say like, maybe don't do this thing, or hey, you're really good at this thing, you should try and dive deeper into it. It's the genuine feedback, the blunt feedback like that, that sometimes hurts, other times gets you thinking like, I don't know if I really agree with that. That's oftentimes where some of the best ideas can come from.
And you may have to, if you like really want to be a trainer or an educator or a consultant, you have to understand what it takes to do that, to deliver value as compared to other alternatives, because that's what everyone faces in business. There's alternatives for people, where to spend their money, what to do with it. And there has to be a solid core to it and not just a presentation of something. If you believe in something, go ahead and build it. Try to build it. I run into people like that now more than ever who think they have a great idea for a product. And I don't, not being mean or nasty to them, but it's like, okay, build it. Give it to somebody who would use it, get their feedback, reiterate, and see where that leads you. And if someone has the wherewithal to stick with it, they're going to learn a lot in that process.
Bill, you've shared so many insights. I want to jump back to community building a little bit more, because you have so much expertise in this area. And one of the things I'd really like to get your thoughts on, let's say there's a listener here who is listening to this and is saying, damn, Bill knows exactly what he's talking about. I'm going all in on community building. That's going to be my whole focus right now. What advice would you give for that individual, whether it is in terms of specific time to set aside during their schedule, whether it's finding relevant communities to share in? But what insights would you share with that individual? What recommendations would you share with them to really help them get started?
I would say, you mentioned something there, a schedule. Be consistent. If you're going to do something every month, make darn sure you do it every month. If it's going to be weekly, like my podcast is weekly, and I fell off of that during the early years, like year two and three, and then just got frustrated. So nobody's going to listen if I don't make this thing a regular thing and build a little anticipation about what's he going to talk about next? What's that crazy guy going to talk about next? That's one thing, is be consistent in your reps. I would say it's also good, especially if you feel like you don't have an ultimate strength in some area, is partner with someone. And that's, again, because of today's means of virtual communication. I know you're in Stockholm and I'm in Pittsburgh, PA. This is like instant. So you can communicate with anyone around the world. And again, I go back to LinkedIn to be a place to find someone who has similar notions, join some groups, listen, interact. And then even on Facebook, there's some good Facebook groups, but and LinkedIn and Facebook are not really good repositories. So it's hard to search on both of those systems, but if you're just looking for engagement, you know, find who's currently engaging on the topics of interest to you and try to form a partnership. One thing I made a note of from our original conversation was when you listen to customers, prospective customers or existing customers, try to figure out what makes them successful. Really listen closely for the elements that are missing. And it may not be anything about your business that would make them successful. In other words, if they had a back office, we sell tools to contractors, but back office billing is just a mess. It's hard to collect money. We don't send out the right bills. We don't send them out on time. We don't follow up. Know what connects with that. And perhaps there's a way to engage with a business that does that well. And now you've got sort of like two points of presence in their mind. So it's being very, very open-minded about sort of the full, don't just think in your silo, think broadly about the customer and what they do.
Bill, this has been phenomenal. I think that covers everything I wanted to get into today. Thank you for coming on the podcast. One final question for you. For any listeners that want to get in touch with you, what are the best ways they can find you online? What resources would they recommend that you check out? Or what resources would you recommend they check out that you're regularly contributing to?
So like in our field of HVAC and building science technology, I do have a podcast. It's called Building HVAC www.thelatestscience.com. You can get to the podcast that way or any typical podcast app. Sometimes I cover topics like on business topics and other peripheral topics to just the hardcore technology stuff. I'm on LinkedIn. I think if you go to linkedin.com/in/BillSpone, I come up, or you can find me as True Tech Tools, my company. My tagline in LinkedIn is they say he's a nice guy. So take it for what that's worth. That would be a good place. And seriously, if anybody wants to email me, I'm happy to do that. Bill@truetechtools.com, TRUTECHTOOLS.com. And again, our products cater mainly to heating and air conditioning contractors, building performance technicians. We do sell a few consumer products, mainly the ones that are low level carbon monoxide alarms. I also do consulting, expert witness consulting in the domain of carbon monoxide poisoning and equipment malfunctions. So that's something I've been doing since 2006, but these are products that are hard to find, low level carbon monoxide alarms. So that might be of interest to any consumers listening.
Coming from Bill Spone, coming from True Tech Tools, Bill, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking the time today.
You're welcome, Pat. My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to Customer Growth Sessions. If you found it helpful, subscribe and give us a review. It helps us to grow the show. Looking for more SEO guidance on how to grow your business? Contact us at innergrowth.com/estimator or email me directly. You can reach me at pat@intergrowth.com. That's all for today. We'll see you again soon.